We are now standing where the majority of the Kivrei Tzaddikim are in the cemetery. There are a number of other Kivrei Tzaddikim right around the corner that we'll go to next. What we'll do is I'll try to speak about some of the Tzaddikim that are buried here. We can't all go in at once just because, as you see, it's very narrow. But we'll speak of each person that we speak about. We'll then say a kapitel of Tehillim, and then we'll move on to the next person, kapitel of Tehillim. And when we finish with those who are buried in this section, everyone could go along and see where they are. You'll see that in the third row in, there are a number of kvarim that are flat on the ground, that aren't stones like this. I'm not sure that used to be the style, I guess, that's how they used to have it. Those are all salvatrics. There are a number of, I think the Beis Halevi has a son from his third marriage, a son of the Beis Halevi, who's actually buried here in the third row in. It's hard to read them because they're on the ground and they're sort of angled up. And then you have all the Torah V'das Rashi Yeshiva. You see, Rav Shlomo Hyman is right on the aisle over here, and you'll see Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and a number of other tzaddikim. So let's take one at a time. So we'll start by talking about Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe and his wife Pesha Soloveitchik are both here. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, as you probably all know, was not only the son of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and the brother of the Briska Rav, but the father of Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. When Rav Moshe married Pesha Feinstein, right, who's also buried here, and we'll talk about her for a few moments also, Pesha Feinstein is the daughter of Rav Elia Feinstein. Rav Elia Feinstein was Rav Moshe's uncle. So that's how Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Feinstein were cousins. They used to call each other every Erev Yontif. That's the story Rav Shechter tells in Nefesh HaRav, that when Rav Moshe Feinstein passed away, Rav Moshe is not buried here, he's buried in Har Menuchos, when Rav Moshe Feinstein passed away, they didn't want to tell Rav Soloveitchik. They thought he would be too heartbroken and he wouldn't be able to handle the news. So even though he read the New York Times every day, they hid the New York Times from him that day so that he shouldn't find out. And if you remember, Rav Moshe died right before Purim. And it was right before Pesach, almost a month later, the fellow who was being mishamish, I think it must have been Rabbi Brander, was being mishamish Rav Soloveitchik, was driving Rav Soloveitchik back to the airport, and Rav Soloveitchik turns to him, it was just the two of them in the car, and he turns to him and said, "How could you not tell me that Rav Moshe passed away?" And he was really sort of on the spot, there was nowhere to hide, and he said, well Rebbe, how did you know? And he said, because every Yontif, either I would call him or he would call me before Yontif to wish each other a good Yontif, and Rav Moshe didn't call this year. So I called his house, and I asked Rav Moshe, and then they told me the news that Rav Moshe had passed away. So Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik were cousins. That was through the couple that's buried here. That was through Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and his wife Pesha. Pesha Feinstein Soloveitchik was a very educated person, a very enlightened kind of person, and yet Reb Chaim allowed his son to marry her, even though the Soloveitchiks were not into the secular education and things like that. The whole drive for Reb Soloveitchik to get a secular education was very much not from the Soloveitchik side of his family. That was really from the Feinstein side of his family. In fact, she was a dynamo a little bit, Pesha Soloveitchik. You speak to her like Rabbi Ganak and Rabbi Shechter, they'll tell you they remember the Rav's mother. They remember talking to the Rav's mother. My uncle, Julius Berman, told me that that once he was talking to the Rav's mother, to Pesha Soloveitchik, who's buried here, and she said to him, "You ever notice anything strange about my son's name?" So he said, "No, his name is Yosef Dov, which is the Beis Halevi's name, which makes a lot of sense that he'd be named after his great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi." She said, "No, don't you know that the minhag among Ashkenazim is that the first name goes to the woman? It goes to the wife's side of the family? Why do you think my firstborn got a name from my husband's side of the family?" So my uncle said, "Because it was the Beis Halevi, you know, like I would think that maybe that would be a good reason." So she said, "No, what happened was after the baby was born, after the Rav was born, Rav Soloveitchik was born, Rav Chaim came to visit Pesha Soloveitchik, and he said to her, 'I want you to name the baby after my father.' And she said, 'No, it goes to the wife's side of the family.' So he said, 'I'll tell you what. If you name the first one after my father, after the Beis Halevi, every other child, that you have, you can name after your side of the family. Instead of taking turns, you'll get every single one. She said, deal. And that's how they made the deal. Reveals it. So all the other ones were named after her side of the family, were not named after his side of the family. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was offered a job in Eitz Chaim in New York as a very young Rav. And Rav Chaim made him turn it down. He said, what kind of place is New York to raise from children? No one's going to be from. And Pesha always regretted the fact that they didn't come to America earlier. They had a number of difficulties in various shtelers that they were in. Ultimately, he settled in Chaslavich, where he was, where Rav Moshe Soloveitchik became the Rav. Chaslavich was mostly Lubavitcher town, and that's why when Rav Soloveitchik was very young, he learned Tanya, because he used to say that the Lubavitcher Malamid would teach them Tanya, and then when the town Rav, when Rav Moshe Soloveitchik would come around, they'd have to quickly hide their Tanyas and open up their Gemaras and pretend that they were learning Gemaras. But one time, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he knew that his grandson was a super genius, so he was learning with his grandson on one of their visits to Brisk, and Rav Chaim saw the kid didn't know anything in Gemara. He knew absolutely nothing. So he said, and he knew the kid is a genius. So he said, well, what are you learning? And the Rav started reciting Tanya, Baal Peh. He started saying over the Tanya. So Rav Chaim told his son, Rav Moshe, time to pull him out of the cheder. You need to learn with him one-on-one. And that began Chavrusa all day long, 8 hours, 9 hours a day between Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and the Rav, and Rav Soloveitchik, in pretty much all of Shas, they learned through everything together. Anyone who was ever in Soloveitchik Shir could tell you, they always remember him saying constantly, I heard from my father in the name of my grandfather. So much of the Mesoras HaTorah that we have in our generation that came from Rav Chaim went through Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and to his son. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik took over as Rosh Shiva in Yeshiva University. It wasn't Yeshiva University at the time, Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, after the Maitre d'Eloi passed away. Maitre d'Eloi is on the other side of the cemetery. We'll talk about him also. Fascinating person. He couldn't get into the country right away, but he arrived in 1929, and he really elevated the whole level of limud in Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, particularly the smicha program. He died in 1941, a few weeks after Dr. Revel passed away. It was a major, major time of transition for the yeshiva. At his levaya, Rav Moshe Feinstein spoke. At his levaya, Rav Moshe Rosen spoke. The Nezer HaKodesh, who was on the other side, we'll talk about him as well. And obviously, the Rav spoke as well. The zechus of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik is really just an enormous zechus, as laying the groundwork for so much of the success in Torah that we've been able to have in this country, when it was not easy to do so. And we'll say now a kapitel Tehillim. And again, what we have in mind always when we say kapitel of Tehillim at a cemetery is never that we're davening to the Mesim, Chas v'Shalom, but that we're davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Zuchus of the Neftarim. So we will start with, I wrote down some good kapitel to say, but I can't find that. We'll start with kapitel. Is that right on that paper? Yeah, we'll start with Kapitel Tes Zayin. Kapitel Tes Zayin. If everyone has a Tehillim, if not, then look on with somebody else. Let's find it. Kapitel Tes Zayin. Michtam Ludavid. Michtam Ludavid.